Verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all this, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bond servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleases, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. And there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for telling us that now put on the new self. Please help us to keep serving you as we put on this new clothes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What is so special about being Christian? Now, when I was young, I imagined that being a Christian would guarantee special powers, like performing exorcism or being super lucky because they're blessed by God, of course. However, as I grew up, I realized that Christians, like everyone else, still need to work for a living and handle trivial problems. In fact, my only chance to come across an exorcism is by self-spelling the word exorcism. So, what is so special about being a Christian? What is it that makes Christians different from everyone else? In a letter to Colossians, Paul addresses many different issues so that when these issues arise in a church, they will know what to do. In chapters 2 and 2-3, Paul highlights how much more superior and liberating the faith is compared to human precepts and teachings. Therefore, there's no point in reverting to the teaching of the law. But then, what does that make Christians so special? That comes to point one, they have new clothes. I think to this passage is super. By super, I mean the extraordinary nature of being Christians on earth. You could think of it as a superpower list for Christians. What Paul says here is unique to Christians. If Spider-Man can crawl like a spider, Superman can be faster than a speeding bullet, then Christians can live like Christ. Verse 12, Paul says, put on then as God's chosen one, which flows directly from the closing imagery in 3 verse 5. They are told to put to death what is earthly in you. And then in verse 10, to put on the new self, which is being renewed to in knowledge after the image of its creator. I think there's a particular reason why Paul uses this imagery here. And imagine on the screen, we know Clark Kent is Superman when we see him putting on his red and blue suit. We know Bruce Wayne is Batman when he put on a pointy ear cow. Tony Stark became Iron Man when he put on his high-tech armor. Their identity changed at the moment as they put on the suit. So what does Paul think a Christian should put on? How should Christians dress so that people can look at them and conclude, you're a Christian? Verse 12, Paul described Christians as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, which is the very words God used to describe Israel at the time of Exodus. I think Paul is helping them to see that, just as Israel was saved by God at the beginning, so you have had your sins forgiven and have been raised with Christ. Now it's your moment to live out what it means to be a follower of Christ. Show the world the great things God has done in you. We can actually see this in the following verses. Paul shows us what it looks like to put on the new self. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. But if you treat this verse in isolation, we could easily think, well, this just sounds like a bunch of exceptionally good people. That is why I think what Paul says next really makes the difference. In verse 13, bearing with one another, and one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Yeah. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Yes, even non-Christians can forgive people. But at the end of verse 13, Paul shows us what true forgiveness looks like. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Christians forgive one another, not simply because they are nice people, but because they themselves were forgiven by the Lord in the first place. So when they forgive one another, they're actually reflecting to others what God has done for them. I'm forgiving you because I was first forgiven by God. As amazing as it sounds, Paul doesn't stop here. In verse 14, he says, above all this, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Now you may ask, wait a minute, Sam, where does this love come from? Well, I can assure that Paul is not channeling his inner Beatles and saying all you need is love. That's fine. No, the word love has a particular meaning in the letter of Colossians. If we look at chapter 2, verse 2, Paul prays that Christians in Colossus and Laodicea may be encouraged and knit together in love. So this love is meant to unite believers in Christ. What's more, the purpose of this love is not simply to hug one another and sing kumbaya, but to reach the full understanding of God's mystery, which is Christ. So as they love one another, Paul expects that they will grow in their knowledge of Christ. Not only knowing the transformation that comes through Christ, but also understanding its implications. What does it look like in everyday life? So come back to verse 14, chapter 3. We can now understand why Paul considered love to be the most important thing to put on. A person may be compassionate, kind, humble, meek, and patient without being a Christian. But only through this love, the love that brings people to the knowledge of Christ, the love that knows what Jesus has done for you, so people can truly love one another and truly reflect the mercy that God has shown them. Without Jesus, there's no way to truly love one another in the way Paul describes here. And that naturally leads us to verse 15 to 17. As one puts on the new self, which is made from the fabrics of knowledge of God, then the life looks different. In his three verses, Paul keeps pointing his readers back to the source of their new life. And thanksgiving should be the response to it. At the end of verse 15, and be thankful, verse 16, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Verse 17, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So I think it is fair to say that thanksgiving is the end goal. But what are they giving thanks for? Verse 15, Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Paul is not simply referring to any kind of peace, but to the peace between God and humanity, who were once sinners. You can see this in chapter 1. It is Christ's saving work that served as the foundation for how Christians act within the church family. Christians can be kind and meek, no longer simply because they're capable of being so, or because it suits their character, but because they have experienced the salvation of Christ. Just as the government sets rules and people follow them, Christ's salvation should govern how Christians behave. And Paul is not simply repeating the gospel message itself. Christians should let the word of Christ dwell among them richly. I don't think Paul means that they can only talk about the gospel. Rather, he's referring to the whole message of Christ. Later in the verse, he mentions teaching, wisdom, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You can see the scope is very broad and covers that many ways how God's truth is shared amongst his people. But this knowledge should not turn us into Bible trivial experts. Instead, Christians use that knowledge to point one another back to the God who saves. As Paul says, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Notice that Paul assumes Christians are not simply sitting in front of a screen, watching a sermon. That is the element of building one another up. You can see this in chapter 2, where Paul describes the whole body being supported and held together, growing with the growth that comes from God. That is what a Christian looks like in church, growing in God's word and helping others grow as well. In verse 17, Paul takes us to a whole new level. He's not talking only about singing, sharing wisdom, or attending Bible studies, but about whatever you do. Imagine the freedom in that, whether you are writing, speaking, moving chairs, or preparing a meal. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, you are doing it because of Christ. Because of Christ, you are able to serve other members with genuine compassion and kindness. As you serve the church, you are putting on the new self that was created in Christ. So when others see you, they are seeing a person who has been transformed by Christ, because Christ has enabled you to serve. And when people see you serving, they're not ultimately seeing how capable you are. They are seeing how much Christ has transformed you so that you can serve like Jesus. You may ask, yes, all of this sounds good and nice, but what's so super about it? Well, in the last chapter, we can see that the readers once walked in earthly desires, but now, having been raised with Christ, they can be holy and beloved, showing compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. All of these qualities are the exact opposite of what they were like. Without Christ, none of this transformation is possible. And this transformation has nothing to do with one's ethnicity, education, or social status. Only Christ matters. This is why having the ability to serve God is so special about being a Christian. Once sinners are now able to show the love of Christ to others because of the transformation happening in their lives. It is unique because only Christ can bring such a fundamental change in a person's life. It is powerful because the magnitude of that change, turning a person's life right side up. And all of this happens because Christians have put on this new self that is born in Christ. So what would that look like in a church life? I think many of us have been serving the church in different ways, whether for a big or small task. And it's easy for us to treat them as just another item on a to-do list. But have we ever asked ourselves, how do my actions help others see the God who saved me? How can I build up my brothers and sisters in Christ? Or perhaps we can start by asking, how do I see my actions in light of what Jesus has done for me? Yes, moving chairs and cleaning toilet bowls are not pleasant tasks, maybe. But think about Jesus, who humbled himself so that I could be lifted up. He did not need to die for me, but he did. When we serve others, even in small and unseen things, we are reflecting the love that Christ has shown us. We are putting on the new self that Paul talks about in his passage. I'm sure there are many more examples we can talk about, but I will leave those to you to explore. But Paul does not think that transformation should stay within the walls of the church. There's no such thing as a Sunday Christian. Unlike superheroes who only put on their suit for 30 minutes because the movie is short on budget, this Christian transformation should be running 24/7, all year round, whoever you are, wherever you are. Christ should be shaping the way you live, which brings us to the second point. We are wearing it all the time. From chapter 3, verse 18 to 4, verse 1, we can see that Paul is now addressing relationships beyond the church. Well, we may categorize it as an application session of the letter, but I think Paul is saying something more than that. There are three things I think we should notice in this section. First, these relationships are very common. There's nothing particularly special about them. Whether you are Christians or not, whether you are Londoners in 2026 or a peasant in AD 70, you can still relate to these relationships. There are no special places where your transformation is meant to shine. It's meant to be seen in your everyday life, both within and beyond the church. Second, it does cover all directions, wives and husbands, children and parents, bondservants and masters. It's very difficult to place yourself outside this network of relationships. And I think this actually shows the scope of the transformation. Your whole life should be influenced by the new self. There are no exceptions. There is also a diversity to this transformation. All kinds of people around you should be able to see it. And that is liberating because Christians can now give thanks to God with every part of their lives. Thirdly, all of his relationships are now God-centered. Notice how each command is supported by a God-centered reason. Wives should submit to their husbands, not because their husbands are nice, not even because they're Christians. Paul does not assume that, but because it is fitting in the Lord. Likewise, husband loves your wives. Children should obey their parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Likewise, fathers, do not provoke your children. Bondservants in Paul's time is equivalent to employees nowadays. It may sound cruel, but Paul is talking about employers here. Bondservants, work heartily. As for the Lord and not for man, you are serving the Lord Christ. Whereas master, be just, knowing that they have a master in heaven. So God has become the center of all decision-making. Christians do not act in this way simply because they are nice people, but because God has declared these things to be right. The power of this transformation reaches into every aspect of life. It is God who enables you to live this way. So when we are putting on the new self, stay on no matter who we are and what we are doing. It will be our daily clothes, it's our pajamas, it's a birthday dress, it's a school uniform, it's our gardening gear. Christians are meant to put on the new self all the time. So if you want to show your colleagues that you are a follower of God, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to stack 10 Bibles in your house or scribble the whole Bible on your walls. It can simply be reflected in the way you relate to the people around you as you put on new self. People recognize that you are loved by God as the character of Christ is displayed in your life. I think there are many ways to apply this passage, but the most important thing is this: make Jesus Christ your beacon. And whatever you do, make him the center of your reasoning. This is what the new self looks like. As the Colossians realize that they have been raised with Christ from death, they were liberated from falling rules and teachings such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. This did not mean that they could indulge themselves in sin, of course. Instead, they could fully give thanks to God because they had the life of Christ in them. With that, they no longer had to worry about what can't I do. Instead, they could begin to explore what can I do. And in Christ, they can do everything within or beyond the church to give thanks to God. So if you were asked, what is so special about being a Christian? I think the answer might go something like this. Well, I can do the dishes, I can sing with others, I can love my children and my spouse, I can work faithfully, and in all of these things, the Lord is pleased with my thanksgiving because I belong to Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for showing us how unique, how powerful it is to become a new made human in you. God, please help us and make all aspects of our life to be shaped by you, to be formed by your teachings, so that we are giving the best thanksgiving everyone wanted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.